Yeah, wow. Can you take me back? Yep, thank you. Perfect. When you think about this, this is what he was about. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This was at the beginning of his ministry, and still at the end of his ministry, he's not lost his focus. He's not lost his passion. And folks, the Lord Jesus came into this world to die on the cross for our sins. And how wonderful it is that he did that. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, I hope that we will understand that he died for us purposefully. It wasn't a mistake, but it was a plan of the Father. And so as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, I hope that we will think strongly about what he did for us and his passion to see us know him. All right, at this time, I just want to mention a couple of things before we partake of the Lord's Supper together. First of all, you do not have to be a member of Grace Baptist Church to be to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. In fact, if you are a Christian in fellowship with the Lord this morning, I encourage you to partake of the Lord's Supper because you're obeying what the Lord has said for us to be doing. Two requirements, I think, scripturally. First of all, that you know Christ as Savior, that you understand what you're doing, but that you know Christ as Savior. So if you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, there is nothing wrong with you not partaking of the Lord's Supper. In fact, it's a right thing for you not to partake of the Lord's Supper. But it would be great for you to be thinking about the Lord's Supper. The second thing is if we have sin in our lives that we're going to say, you know what, that sin means too much to me. I'm not going to forsake it. That sin means too much to me. I'm not going to ask the Lord to forgive me of it. And so we're going to have a few minutes in just a moment. I'm going to ask my wife to play through. She's going to play through, and it goes with the search meal, Lord. Lord, is there anything between me and you that would hinder me from fellowship with you in the Lord's Supper this morning? And I know this may be a little different than what you're used to with the Lord's Supper, but I think in Corinthians it says, let every man examine himself, and then let that man partake. And so let's partake of the Lord's Supper together. I encourage you to, but at the same time, let's check our heart. My darling wife's going to play a couple of verses through, and then I'll have a prayer, and then I'll ask the fellows to come up. Father, I thank you that we can come together today, and at this during this Christmas season, we can remember our Lord's birth. We also can remember his sinless life, the good things that he did. And Lord, we especially remember his death on the cross and his willingly giving his life for us. We're amazed at that great love for us, and we're thankful for it. Father, I ask that you would forgive us for where we failed you this week, both in word, thought, and deed, and things we should have done that we didn't do. And Lord, your promises are that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Father, that we can partake of the Lord's Supper this morning. And I pray, Father, that you would use this time as an encouragement. Help us, Lord, to know you better. And Father, thank you, Lord, for this reminder at this time of year, when oftentimes we're so busy, so much things going on, we can often or easily lose sight of what Christmas really is about. And we thank you, Father, for this reminder this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to glorify you in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to ask Thomas to come and Brother Robert to come. And we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper together. Now, whoever's on this side, there's some folks in the creche room. And so may I ask that you wait until we're going to pass out the bread first in a little bit, and then we'll do the juice. We'll have a prayer after each one, and then we'll partake together. So if you would just wait on everyone else. And then if you do not get some and you would like to partake, would you just wave at me before we move on? Okay, so just keep that in mind. All right. In this passage that we just read, it says, "And he took bread." And at this time, we'll ask that the fellows pass out the bread, which represents our Lord's broken body, and we'll give thanks for it when you come back. Thank you. says, and he gave thanks. Brother Thomas, would you give thanks for our Lord's broken body, please? Amen. It says, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Let's remember our Lord's broken body together. And he took the cup. At this time, we'll take the juice, which represents our Lord's shed blood. Will you give thanks for the Lord's body?
Father, we thank you this morning for coming back to say all the women for our life since the world. We don't need to remember the Old Testament, God of the plains, the God of the life, for the sins of the Israel world. But this time I don't let us call upon God, responsible for the life since the whole world, God of the plains.
When he had given thanks, he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you." Let's remember our Lord shed blood together. At this time, we'll have a hymn.
Excellent, everyone. So, our hymn now, before the message of this afternoon, we're going to do number 88, In a Cave. And can we stand? And can we do the two verses of In a Cave? Thank you.
In a cave, a lowly stable, Christ our Lord was born. From the heavens white and robed, angels holy mourn. Noel, 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 Noel rang throughout the sky. Noel, 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 praise to God on high. Shepherds heard the heavenly chorus and were sore afraid. But an angel spoke the tidings that all fear allayed. Noel, 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 Noel rang throughout the sky. Noel, 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 praise to God on high.
Wonderful. You can be seated. Sorry, I got you to stand a little bit sooner than I expected. That's all right. It's exercise for the day. Anyway, so we'll have the announcements and we'll follow that with the offering. Thank you.
Very good morning to you all once again. Wonderful to see each one here this morning. Just a couple of announcements. The first announcement is about ministry opportunities for next year. So the church has several different opportunities for ministry and serving. Small things, but your help would be greatly appreciated if you can do those. So the first of the ministries is the bread ministry that we do. So currently the church collects bread on Tuesdays and Saturdays, and that's just at Baker's Delight at the shopping center there in Aikenvale. Church mowing as well. The cleaning roster and the morning tea are all different ministry opportunities that you could be involved in. And the church is looking to sort of redo their rosters for next year. So if you're interested in any of those or would like more information about what it involves, please see the pastor. But again, your interest and your help would be greatly appreciated with any of those if you are able. And then looking ahead to the various activities we have. So today is a particularly busy one. So on our list of Christmas activities that we have, we've ticked off the Children's Christmas program. But today we have two. So after the service, we have a fellowship lunch. If you can stay for that, please join us. It'll be a great time of food and fellowship. So we would love for you to stay for that one. And then later on today at 5:30, we have the carol service. So some fantastic musicians here in the church, some better than others, but hey. Tonight we'll be having that carol service, so it'll just be a great opportunity to invite friends and family that otherwise wouldn't maybe not get involved in church. But just a fantastic opportunity there. So if you haven't invited someone already, think about that maybe, or just bring yourself and your families. It will be a great opportunity to worship God and to just hear the different members of the church and the special items they've prepared. And then, of course, our Christmas Day service on the 25th. That will be at 9 a.m. So our Christmas Day service at 9 a.m. And that will be it for Christmas activities. So we will go to the Lord in prayer now, and then we will have our offering and the pastor with the message. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you, Father, for this Christmas season. We thank you, Lord, for our friends and our family and the opportunities that you have given us to share the love of Christ with them. We thank you, Father, that so many people, church-going or otherwise, turning their attention to Christmassy things, to perhaps religious things, biblical things. We pray, Lord, that you would use this time as an opportunity for us to minister to them, that they may have people in their lives who are able to explain to them the true significance of Christmas as we remember your coming into the world, Lord. Help us to remember your coming. Help us to remember your purpose. You came so that you would go to the cross, Lord, and that through the cross, through your death, through your resurrection, you've given each one, every man on earth, hope for eternal life. We pray, Lord, that you would just resonate this message in our hearts. Help us and give us this desire, Lord, as the Lord Jesus desired to eat the Last Supper with his disciples. Give us this desire to spread your word to others. Would you help us, Lord, to be faithful? And would you use the various ministries that the church has going on to your glory? Bring many folks along. And would you sow seeds in their heart? Bring them to repentance and faith. And Father, I just pray for the year ahead as well, as we look to the new year and the church looks to find various people to fill different ministry positions, the bread, the mowing, the cleaning. Lord, these all seem very trivial almost, but Lord, I ask that you just raise up people and bring people forward to participate in these ministries, Lord. We know that something as simple as bringing a little child a cup of water in your name is great in your sight. So we pray, Lord, that you would just bring people forward to fill these ministry roles. And just thank you for your faithfulness. Would you bless in our offering? Would you bless in our service? Be with the pastor. Give him boldness and strength, clarity of mind as he preaches. Would you help us to listen well? And would you use the message to bear much fruit in our lives? Bless those who are giving in our offering. Bless our offering. And may you help what is given be used to your glory. I just thank you for your great faithfulness and pray all these things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wonderful. Okay, well, now the final song before our message today. And we're going to do number 55, In the Wilds. I Want to Do Thy Will, O Lord. It's a lovely little song, what you see in front of you on the first page. That's all the words to the song. So if you can stand, and we're going to sing through this one twice. Thank you.
I want to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will, O Lord. Take me, break me, mold me and make me. I want to do thy will, O Lord. I want to do thy will.
Thank you very much. You may be seated, and we'll now have the message.
I want to mention this morning is the fact that Jesus was a Jew. Jesus was a Jew. And the reason I point that out is that in light of last week's attack,
In light of last week's attack on some Jewish people, there's just ignorance around, and sometimes it's hatred and meanness. But people need to know that if you're going to hate Jews, you're going to hate Jesus too. Okay, so I'm just, you know, and so if you know people that hate Jewish people, and I'm not saying Jewish people always do everything right, because they don't, just like any other country's people don't always do anything right. But if you know people that say they believe in God, or say they believe in Jesus but hate Jews, will you just ask them that? Did you know that Jesus was a Jew? Are you sure you really should be hating Jews? And the reason I mentioned that this morning too is that we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for these families. Pray for Matilda's family. 10 years old, lost her life at Bondi. So pray for her family and the other families involved. Just some things that we're thinking this morning about Jesus coming. And this that happened to Matilda and the other victims is part of why Jesus came. The Biffle family on the right-hand side there, they live probably 30, 45 minutes from where I grew up, and they were in a plane crash. And he had given so much time to help flood victims and things, but the whole family were killed in a plane crash this week. And then I meant to have another picture, but I didn't. There was another picture I meant to have there of the Gardner family. Matt and Samantha Gardner, they were missionaries in Uganda. Matt and Samantha and family were in a automobile wreck this week, and Samantha lost her life. And you think about, why in the world? We live in a fallen world. Mistakes happen, accidents happen, bad things happen. But I'm glad that Jesus came. I'm glad that Jesus came and that one day he will make everything right. Last week, we began to look at why Jesus came, at just some of the things. And by the way, I realize we're not going to touch all of them. We're not. But we touched on last week on his power to help those in crisis. So John 11, there's two different groups in crisis, Lazarus and his family. Lazarus' sister said, "Come, our brother's sick." By the time the news gets to the Lord, he already knew, but Lazarus was dead. The Lord brings Lazarus back to life. His disciples also need his help. He shows them who he is. That resurrection power that worked in Lazarus' life, it also worked in Jesus' life when he came back to life, and then that exceeding greatness of his power to us worked. So his resurrection power works in us who know him as Savior. This morning, we've looked at his power. I want to look briefly this morning at his passion. His passion. He was passionate about all things godly. Now, some of us are passionate about different things. Anyone passionate about sport here? I am. Yeah, I'm passionate about sport. I'm passionate about food sometimes, and I shouldn't be, especially this time of year. We may be passionate about a hobby that we have. We may be passionate about family. We may be passionate, maybe there's just this one thing, this one particular cause that we stand for. And if anyone crosses the line there, we get all upset. We get all uptight. Well, Jesus was passionate, not in a bad way. Not in a bad way, not one bit in a bad way. Now, he did run the money changers out of the temple because he was passionate for God's glory. Jesus was in no wise bored with God's stuff. He didn't find God's stuff boring. He didn't find living for the Lord, living for his Father as, okay, just something else to do. He saw it, he approached it with all that he had. In fact, our verse this morning, "With desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, to direct one's strong will upon something, to obsess or think with agitation toward a certain objective." Jesus was passionate about fulfilling his Father's will. He was passionate about that. Reminds me of a fellow I read about this week. His name was Steve Prefontaine, and they just called him Pre. He was a runner back in the early 70s. When he was in high school and even in uni, he broke all kinds of records. He had records in anything from 2,000, 4,000, 6,000, 8,000, 10,000 meters. And I realized back in the 1970s was a long time ago now. It was like over 50 years ago. But this man, when he raced, he trained two times a day, which was unheard of back then. And when the whistle blew, or whatever they did to start, he was off. And man, he was off. He gave everything he had. The whole race, he ran hard. this man gave everything he get. He didn't leave anything. He left it all on the court. He always was giving 100%. He said some people, this is something he said some people create with words or with music or with a brush and paint. I like to make something beautiful when I run. I like to make people stop and say, I've never seen anyone run like that man did. In fact, he ran in the Olympics, and he ran so hard at the fat, at the first, I think part of it's nerves, the 72 Olympics he ran, and he came in fourth because he ran out of fizzle. Well, he was going to get revenge in the 76 Olympics, but he died in a car crash in May of 1975. But this is something, by the way, he was a representative of Nike when Nike was just coming out, before it became Nike. He was a representative. And I think it was BRS before it became Nike. But he was something else. This is another quote he said. To give anything less than your best is to sacrifice the gift. So give all you have. And when I think of the Lord Jesus when he came to earth, he did come from heaven. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. First thing I want you to notice is that Christ came into the world. You ever look at things on Facebook? I left my phone back. You ever look at things on Facebook? When I'm deciding whether I'm going to buy something on Marketplace, you know what one of the things I look at? I look at how far it is away. If it's 380 kilometers away, I don't care if I can save $2 or not. I'm not going to travel 380 Ks to save $2. Well, you know what? Our Lord, he came from heaven. He came from heaven. Does that, when we read that verse, that he came into the world, does it even hit us at all that he came from heaven's glory? He left comfort. He left angels worshiping him 24/7 all the time. He didn't say, I couldn't be bothered. That shows his passion. He came a long ways. No matter what he was offered. Now here's one of our Bible passages. Remember in Matthew chapter 4 when the Lord drove, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness, away from everyone else and away from everything for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was without food. And the devil, among other temptations, he tempted him with jumping off, turning the bread turning the rock to bread. And then he showed him all the kingdoms of the world in just a flash. And he said, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. What did Jesus say? He says, no. He says, I'm here to serve the Father. The Lord Jesus always stayed focused, no matter how much stuff he could have had. He came down from heaven to do the will of the Father. He came down to do the will of the Father. Even from his youth. And by the way, young people, can I just tell you, you're not too young to serve God. You're not too young to dedicate your life to God, to pleasing. You don't have to have a life that has regrets and says, well, I wished I had. The Lord Jesus, he says, you know what? I must be about my Father's business. Even from a young person, he was committed, he was focused, he was passionate about pleasing his Father. He was passionate about pleasing his Father even when it was difficult. You remember when he was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane? He said, Lord, if there's any way, three times he prayed this prayer, Lord, if there's any way that I cannot be crucified. And the Lord said, the Father said, no, there's not. He said, not as I will, but as your will. He was passionate. He was going to do the Father's will. He was passionate about helping lost people. I love this verse. Can I ask you, how many of you are tired this morning? Anybody tired this morning?
Don't let being tired keep you from serving, from helping.
Jesus, and you look at John chapter number 4, his disciples, Jesus says, I must needs go through Samaria. I've got a job there. I've got something I've got to do. And it says Jacob's well was there. And as they went in to get into food, to get food, he was wearied with his journey and he sat on the well. You know what the idea of that is? And I'm sure I've demonstrated it before. He was wearied with his journey. This is how he sat down on that. One piece of this. Keep my way. Here. He was just exhausted. But you know what? Even though he was tired, he knew that there's just this one lady that was going to come midday that he needed to talk to. She was coming, I believe, during the hot of the day, so she didn't have to talk to anyone. But Jesus had an appointment with her. You know what? When she came, the Lord talked to her. And in the end, she said, come see a man who told me all that I ever did. And can I say, folks, now, by the way, you got to mind your body. You got to mind your body. I'm not saying that. But I am saying if we're only going to do right, if we're only going to be a blessing at home, if we're only going to do the right thing at work or with our friends or with our family or when we're completely rested, we're going to miss out. Jesus was passionate. Even when he was tired, he was passionate with love for those that needed Christ. He was passionate for his disciples and to the end. He loved them. And can I just say that love sometimes is hard. Love sometimes is hard. You know, when I'll use the marriage thing. You say, I do. And that other person, you know they're not perfect, but they're nearly there. And then all of a sudden, the longer you're married, the more you find out they're not perfect. And they find out that you're not perfect more and more. But what is it that keeps you together? It's that love. The Lord Jesus, he demonstrated that love. Even though his disciples, he knew that they were getting ready to let him down. He loved them anyway. We've got to be passionate. He was passionate about his love. When I think about his love for the rich young ruler who said to him, Master, what good thing, what must I do to go to heaven? And he gave him a list and he said, I've done all those. And then he said, he looks at him, loving him. He says, okay, go give away, go sell everything you have and give the money to the poor and come follow me. He looked at that man and that man went away sorrowful because he loved his stuff. Jesus even loved those that wouldn't believe in him. He loved his disciples. He loved his disciples even when they neglected him, rejected him. He loved them. And can I say, folks, that's what love does. That's what love, his love was passionate for us. Steve said this. He says, to give anything less than your best is to sacrifice the gift. This is my life verse, this next one. Who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You know what that means? That no matter where the Lord's put me in life, that's his purpose for me. I remember reading about one writer went by this lady, and this was way back. This is when they had the typewriters going. And she was, every day when he would visit this office, she would be faithfully just typing. And her typing so impressed this guy that was visiting. He asked about her. And you know, this lady made such an impression on him that it just stood out. And he recognized that she was doing what she was doing as to the Lord. Do we understand? Do we have that passion? That no matter what our calling is, wherever God's put us, the church is like a body. And the body has lots of different things, some seen, some not seen, but they're all important. And sometimes we have those parts. I remember Spurgeon, somebody asked him the secret to his ministry. He said, come with me. And they were at his church, and he showed them, before the service, all these people praying in the background for the service. Wherever the Lord's put you, do that with passion. Whatever your job, if you are a child growing up in school, give it all you got. Be the best you can. It glorifies God. Wherever the Lord has you right now, do it with passion. If it means washing the dishes, wash those dishes. Do it with passion. Don't make a mess. I make a mess when I do things with passion like that. Whatever the Lord gives you, do it with passion. But notice he'll also give the grace. He'll give the grace to do it. Tickle me when I read that verse that the Lord had a purpose for me. He had a purpose for even me. Not only that, but he'll give us the grace to do that purpose. Whatever that is. And we didn't take God by surprise. Our circumstances didn't take God by surprise. He wants us to glorify him where we are. He says this, and we're almost done. Paul says, I just want you to know the riches that you have in Christ. This is my heart's desire, that they understand just the great riches, the wonderful things that they have in Christ. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Some people create with words or with music or with a brush and paint. I like to make something beautiful when I run. I like for people to stop and say, I've never seen anyone run like that before. Folks, you know what? We may not all be runners, but wherever the Lord's put us to run, whatever the Lord's got us doing, whatever He's got us doing, let's be a witness. Let's be a light. Let's show others Christ. Christ, He had a passion that would not be put out. What about our passion? Are we passionate about the wrong things? Let me ask you, if someone says something that hurts you, do you let that sidetrack you? Because we can be passionate about the wrong thing. They said the wrong thing! They hurt me! Let's get passionate about the wrong thing. And you think about how the Lord Jesus came and forgave us our sins. We should be passionate forgivers. If you're married this morning, I hope that you never go to bed where, as far as you're concerned, you can't talk to your husband and wife. I hope you never do that. We're passionate about some wrong things sometimes. Sometimes we're passionate about a windshield wiper. Well, we need to be passionate about serving Him. He was passionate about dying on the cross. We should be passionate about serving Him. Our last hymn this morning is about that, a passion for Thee. May I ask you two questions? First of all, if you were to die today, do you know for certain you'd go to heaven when you die? If you don't, I'd love to talk to you about that. Secondly, where's your passion at? Is it wrong to be getting into sport? Definitely not. Is it wrong to be getting into my hobby? Definitely not. Or to whatever else. But are those things pushing aside your passion for God? I hope that whatever the Lord speaks to you about, you won't let that go this week. And I hope it encourages your heart that Christ came. He went out of the way. He gave all this effort so that we could know Him. These brochures are at the back. If you'd like to take one to invite someone, please come Sunday. I mean, this is Sunday. Please come Thursday to our service. Hope you can. All right. Brother Jared.
'66 in the Wilds. Thanks. If you could stand. Lovely. And we'll do just the first verse of that. Thank you. God bless you all. You're now dismissed in God's loving care. And if you can, please join us next door for a fellowship meal. Thank you.